We open God's holy word to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, the verses 2 and 3 as our text. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? So far, the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, this hour, as we have celebrated the Lord's Supper, no doubt you would want to say to each other that this was meant for fellowship, not just with one another, but fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And should not each one of us desire wholesome fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And I trust, therefore, that you have enjoyed some of that fellowship today. But we know that fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is not always as strong and as steady as we might want it to be, or as we might like it to be. And the answer could be asked, therefore, why? Why is that so? Why is our fellowship with Christ not always as strong, not always as steady as it should be? Well, as you heard this morning, the Song of Solomon describes for us the loving relationship between Solomon and the Shulamite, his prospective wife, or bride rather. And although you and I, we need to be careful not to spiritualize everything in the Song of Solomon, according to Reformed tradition, it is safe to say that at the same time, this Song of Solomon describes for us a loving relationship between Christ and his church. And I've mentioned that already this morning as well. And more personally yet, it describes the relationship between Christ and the believer. But this relationship has its good and its not so good times. It's happy and it's unhappy moments. One of the happy moments, of course, is when the Lord describes his beloved, that he came into his garden, his church, his friends, his beloved, to eat and drink what he, the Lord Jesus Christ, has to offer. And I trust that you have experienced something of this as you celebrated the Lord's Supper. And I hope it was spiritually good for you and for fellowship for you. But now, as we read verse 2 of our text chapter, we come to a new section and a new development in the relationship between Christ and his church. And this new development is described as not so good, but rather an unhappy development. Let me just give you the highlights of this fifth chapter for a moment. In verse 2 of this chapter, we read that the bride has retired to her bedroom and that she has fallen asleep. But it was rather a restless type of sleep, because he says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. Sometime well after midnight, the bridegroom comes to a closed door. Half asleep, she hears him knocking and calling out her name. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. However, she is slow to respond. And she gives the excuse that, well, she's in bed already. She does not want to get up. She doesn't want to get dressed. And she does not want to get her feet dirty again. Consequently, the bridegroom withdraws. Shortly after, the bride comes to the realization, I've hurt my bridegroom. I've hurt my beloved. And that I have spurned his overtures of love. She therefore jumps out of bed. She opens the door and discovers, to her dismay, that he is gone. And she then begins to search for him and calls out for him in the streets of the city. But of all things, the watchmen of the city find her and abuse her. At the end of the chapter, we hear her melancholy, lovesick description of her beloved, just in case the daughters of Jerusalem will actually find him and bring him back to her. She longs for his fellowship again. Well, that is just what I want to dwell on with you on the basis of verse 2 and verse 3. And I hope to come to some understanding of Christ and his fellowship with the believer. In the first place, I want to consider with you the tenderness of Christ. And then in the second place, the tardiness of the believer. The congregation, it should be obvious to each one of us that Christ does not want to be without his fellowship, the fellowship of the church and with the individual believers. He does not want his people to be without his fellowship either. He does not want his people to live as if he is not there. He wants to be fully part of their life. He wants to be their counselor, their confidant. He wants to be their friend. He wants to be their closest companion. And he wants to share in their joys, but also in their sorrows as well. He wants to share in their light, but also in their difficult days as well. Jesus Christ, their Savior, wants fellowship with them. He wants to be with them when life goes smoothly, but also when life is on a rough course. Jesus Christ, dear people, wants to be in every part and in every experience of their lives. Now, if things are right with us, dear people, we as believers should want the same thing, shouldn't we? But sad to say, things are not always so right with us. We are often rather inconsistent in our fellowship with Christ. Let me explain what I mean by this. We have our so-called spiritual times and we have our non-spiritual times. We are spiritual, obviously, when we worship and when we pray and when we partake and celebrate the Lord's Supper. We can be spiritual also when we happen to be on a serious sickbed, especially when we are called to go through the valley of the shadow of death. We want to be spiritual then. It is in such times, therefore, that we want to draw close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly, we should do that, definitely. But then there are also those times, dear people, in our life when we go through the ordinary and through the everyday activities of life, such as our work, such as our studies, such as our times of recreation or whatever. The danger is then that we will often, as it were, turn off our spiritual side and we begin to act like our neighbor next door who does not go to church. We speak then as the world speaks and no one can tell really that we are Christians. As if Christ is no longer in our thoughts, as if Christ is no longer in our hearts. Now, if things are right with us, and we do have a sincere faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we would not want to see that type of inconsistency in our life. And we know that Christ would not want to see that sort of inconsistency in our life either, because in his word he tells us that we should always be spiritual in the right way. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, we are told that we are to have the mind of Christ, meaning that we should always think as he would think, that we would act as he would act. And in fact, we are told even in 1 Corinthians chapter 2:16, that we do have the mind of Christ. This means, dear people, that we should always be engaged in Christ-like thinking and that we should always be spiritual on Sunday, but also during the week as well, as we pray, as we work, as we read our Bibles, as we are busy with other things and other matters. Christ, you see, he wants to be on our thoughts. He wants to be in our hearts, you see. Christ wants consistent fellowship and communion with us. He wants to see that this is part of our regular, daily, nightly experiences. And this is made abundantly clear here in our text, doesn't it? The bridegroom has come to the door of the chamber where his beloved has fallen asleep. This is how Christ also comes at the door of each believer's heart. And he knocks on that door and he calls out to who is behind that door, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. Open to me." Christ knocks. And the fact that his head is filled with dew and that his locks are and show the drops of the night indicate that he has been there at the door for a long time already. Christ is knocking and he is calling at the door. And dear people, those two activities of Christ tell us that this is a very, very urgent matter with him. He must have entrance. "Open to me, open to me." So he calls. My fellow believers, will you not admit your Savior in and give him the full fellowship that he desires? You say that you love him and that you truly believe in him. You have celebrated the Lord's Supper, haven't you? But does he not always deserve full fellowship with you? Can he not share with you in the experiences of your whole life? He knocks. How does he do that, you might ask? Well, every promise of his word is a knock on your and my heart's door. Every commandment that you hear from the pulpit and that you hear each Lord's Day, every one of those commandments are knocks at the heart of your door. Every act of providence, every single blessing are like knockings of Christ calling out, "Open to me." Every type of affliction, each sickbed, each trip to the doctor, each surgery, each trial, and each calamity, all of them are knocks on the door of your heart. Christ calls, "Open to me. Let me in on it. Let me be part of all those experiences." Now, every believer knows something about this knocking and calling voice of Christ in their life. He makes himself heard not only through sermons, and he certainly does that. And every believer who has become sensitive to the love of their Savior Jesus Christ should have no difficulty identifying his voice. He once said, after all, "My sheep hear my voice." And so any who are the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ should be able to say with the words of our text, "It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me." And so, my fellow believers, as we could celebrate the Lord's Supper today, you may be assured that Christ will be knocking and calling on you. Why? Why must he do so? Well, we'll see that in a moment. But for now, the question is, when he knocks and when he calls, will you open to him and will you give entrance to him? Will you open to him not only in your prayer life, but also in your plans that you make, in the decision makings. Will you open to him not only in your Sunday worship activities, but also in your weekly working activities? And dear people, the tenderness of Christ by which he knocks and calls upon you is something that tells us that he has a deep love for his people, a deep love. And that should also reflect from us as well. There should be a deep love on our part. Now the Lord Jesus, he certainly does not spare any words to describe his love for his bride. He calls them by various affectionate terms, and we heard something of that this morning already as he called them my friends and my beloved. But he goes on, my sister, my love, my dove, and my undefiled. And these are also terms of endearment that speaks of Christ's tender love for his people. These are terms, by the way, which any believer would have to admit, as we did this morning, undeserved. I'm not worthy of those terms at all. Nevertheless, Christ refers to the believers, to you and to me, my sister. What an honor this is to stand in relation with him. That he would refer to us as my love, that we are objects of his love, for which he was willing to sacrifice himself on the cross of Calvary. And that he would compare us to a dove, a creature of gentleness and of peace. And finally, that he would call us my undefiled. How did that come about? Well, not because I have cleansed myself, but because of Christ. How must he see us differently than how we see ourselves, dear people? Nevertheless, this is the tender love language by which he describes us. But now, I want to go a step further, because in the second place, we need to look at the other side of that relationship for a moment, the relationship that speaks of the tardiness of the believer. But let us first sing. And let us do that from Psalter number 395, the stanzas 1 and 2. 395, 1 and 2. So, in the second place then, the tardiness of the believer. Boys and girls, the term tardiness comes from the word tardy, which means to be slow and sluggish to respond. My dictionary explains it as not coming at the appointed time, late, moving slowly, shuffling your feet. Well then, this is how the response of the bride can be described, tardy in responding to the call of the bridegroom. She was tardy. She was slow and sluggish in opening to him. Half asleep, half awake, she had all kinds of excuses not to open to him. In short, she said, I'm comfortable now. I do not feel like responding to him who is knocking and calling. Dear people, is this not a true picture of us as well, of tardiness? Tardy to respond, slow and sluggish towards Christ, the one whom we confess to be our Savior and our bridegroom. How often are we not asleep to the knocking and the calling of Christ? How often are we not asleep to the circumstances around us, unaware really of what is happening? How often are we, you and I, not in a sleepy state of mind as to how Christ is speaking, for instance, through history, speaking through providence, or how he is speaking through calamities, even as he has been speaking through COVID-19. How sleepy we can be. And then to think of Christ, that he has told us that we should be awake, that we should be alert at all times, when he says in Matthew 24:42, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Instead, we have fallen asleep on him, much like the 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins. And also today, many believers may be asleep. And it is to their shame that this has to be said. They live their little lives. They practice their religion half asleep, half awake. Their spirituality has dropped to a lower level. They worship by routine. They read their Bible, but by habit alone. They pray because, well, we've always done that. They come to church, but it's often hit and miss if they listen. The enthusiasm is not there. The tension is not there. The urgency is missing their people. Their first love, it has waned. I sleep, but my heart wakens. We've lost our first love. Is this perhaps also what you and I must admit? I sleep, but my heart waketh. Have you perhaps also slipped into this tardiness of spirit? Has the Lord's Supper celebration perhaps also caught you, even you, half asleep and half awake? Perhaps you too so far have to respond to the knocking and calling of the Savior with little more than, "Well, Lord, I'm quite comfortable. I'm quite at ease. I'm not up to practicing such a vigorous and strenuous type of Christianity at this time." Perhaps you too have given your excuses to the Savior already and have left him knocking at the door of your heart. It was too much to open to him. It was too much to have your mind and your heart in it at all times. Perhaps so far you have given him your Sundays, but the rest of the time has been spent at a distance from him. Dear people, I ask you seriously, will this practice continue after you have come away from the Lord's Supper? Will it? Will you fall back, half asleep and half awake, with a "don't bother me" type of religion? Will tardiness continue to be your only conviction? Will you remain slow and sluggish to open to him? Oh, may I advise you then to read what we read at the end of the whole thing when she goes out and the watchman of the city abuse her. And there's a watchman who's watching carefully as well. And he is able to abuse us. And that's the evil one. Read what the bride in our text has to go through. What a disappointment it will be. But at a certain moment, you must come to the realization that Christ has withdrawn himself, and that in your seeking him, you cannot find him anymore, and that in your calling out to him, he gives you no answer. Oh, dear people, do not let such relationship with Christ sink to that level. And now, yes, Christ has been knocking and has been calling to each one of us, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. In other words, and that is maybe how we can interpret the opening to him, repent of your tardiness. Admit your sleepiness. Admit to your slowness and to your sluggishness to respond. Confess this to the Lord, you see. And let the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, convict you and convince you of that tardiness. Let him awaken you and revive you. And so, my fellow believers, respond to the Savior and his knockings and to his callings. Let him in. Show him your need. Show him that you do want fellowship with him at all times, and that in every area of your life. Let the Lord's Supper celebration therefore stir in you to confess your faith anew in him, and to commit your love for him, and to commit it anew. Christ, you see, he wants that very important place in your life. He wants constant fellowship with you. Therefore, let the warmth of his tenderness melt away your tardiness. Now, some of you, now, of course, I do not know you as such, as a congregation very well, but I would dare say that some of you have not participated in celebrating the Lord's Supper. I hope you know the reason for this, I trust. Is it perhaps because you are not willing, you are not ready to have him in your life? Is that possible? Is it because, well, really, I don't have any room for him in my life this day? Is it perhaps you have not listened, really seriously listened to his calling, and have found it just too much to respond to him? Well, whatever the case might be, pray the Holy Spirit, I urge you, pray the Holy Spirit to make room for Christ in your thoughts and in your heart. Pray that he would give you the desire and the love to be responsive to him. Pray that he would give you the spirit of prayer. Pray that you will actually begin to hear the knocking and the calling voice of this awesome Savior, Jesus Christ, even this hour yet, dear people. He wants to overcome your tardiness, and he wants to overcome that with his tenderness. And so, my fellow believers, Christ does not want to live at a distance from you, and neither does he want you to live at a distance from him. The love between Christ and his church, between the bridegroom and the bride, just will not tolerate distance. Therefore, seek always to live close to him and have him involved in everyday life of yours. I want to close with something about Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was a British missionary who labored for some 50 years in China. And he labored under great stress and many setbacks, even to the loss of his wife and some children there whom he had to bury. And he actually wrote a small commentary on the Song of Solomon. And he called it Union and Communion, Thoughts on the Song of Solomon. And Hudson Taylor found great comfort in his union and and his communion with Christ as he wrote the following, and with that I close. In the secret of his presence, how my soul delights to hide. Oh, how precious are the lessons which I learn at Jesus' side. Earthly cares can never vex me, neither trials lay me low. For when Satan comes to vex me, to the secret place I go. Amen. Let us close in prayer. O Lord, our God, we humbly bow before thy holy throne of grace to extend our thanksgiving to thee for putting up with us, for knocking on our doors, for calling out our name, and for using such tender terms that should bring tears to the eyes of each and every one of us, that thou hast continued to labor diligently with thy word and with thy Holy Spirit, hearts and lives, members of the congregation and visitors. We thank thee for this. And Lord, we do pray that we may seek that fellowship with thee at all times, wherever we may be, and whatever we might be, young or old, that we may seek fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with him every day of our life, so that when our walk in life comes to an end, we may be welcomed with Christ, by Christ, and be with him forevermore. We pray for the congregation, for all those who attended and celebrated the Lord's Supper, that thou would speak to them in a way that the Holy Spirit alone can do this, and that they may experience being satisfied with Christ. And so bless us, bless the office bearers, the elders, and the deacons. Bless all those who are involved in showing their labors in the congregation, and grant that the youth of the congregation may grow in this grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Send us on our way home safely, and be with us also in this week that lies before us, in the forgiveness of all our sins with thanksgiving. Amen.